Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 7th day of April, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. This is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. Yes. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Squeaky and Anatole, and capably moderated by Horn chief mathematician, chief agronomist, and bud trimmer emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. there's Claire joining from across the pond. Good evening, Claire. There's Sparky popping into the moderating scene, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has thus far not folded space to become man cave. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Friday on the front porch, and here in about a little less than an hour, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable about which we gather at the end of every week to see what's on folks' minds. And everybody's welcome. Join in. New voices are wonderful around the front porch. I just love that. And I think there's a link at the top of HeadOn.live that'll carry you right into the Skype room. Speaking of Skype, another announcement. Keep making it until we're absolutely certain, but that this has been heard. But I did change Skype accounts, and Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, space, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. That's the new Skype address. If you want to reach me through Skype, use that, because the other one is pretty much in a state of disuse. Just word of the wise. Sparky's there, and Steve from Georgia Stan, Jack in Shreveport, Flavio up in Wisconsin, Roger in Oregon, Scott, they're all signed up and signed on. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. Oh, by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you listen to the podcast, and many of you do, it would be really helpful if you would like the podcast and leave a comment and subscribe over at TuneIn. If you're listening there, our goal is to build up to 1,000 discrete listeners. Discretion is required, and we're north of 700 now. So if you listen on TuneIn, press that little heart button, everything helps. But like I said, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thank you so kindly to our 7th day of the month subscribers. That's, thank you, James. And, as it turns out, James is our only subscriber for the 7th day of the month. So If anybody is listening live who, you know, doesn't subscribe, something like that, well, feel free. Jump right in. Ah, okay, thank you. Jack and Shreveport and Sparky telling me there's no link for the front porch yet, so we'll see how that goes. Fundraising goal for this evening, we got down to 3:30, so we are at 6:30. The fundraising goal is $630 to finish the first week of April. That's doable, at least in theory. Wonderful if it did happen. So maybe we'll get an early start on things. I don't know. So, this being Friday, let's see. How about let's start with a follow-up from yesterday's program. And what I mean by that is let's check in with quite possibly the most corrupt individual ever to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm talking, of course, about Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas and his ginsurrectionist wife. $500,000 vacation. Yeah. My goodness gracious.
You know, I don't care much for the beaches. I prefer to hang out in the Walmart parking lots of America.
Sure you do, Fappy. Sure you do. Well, he finally kind of had to break his silence because this is so monumental that he can't just ignore it away. Fappy now says that Harlan Crow and his wife Kathy are among our dearest friends. And this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends, that sounds a lot like sincerely held religious beliefs, both being, of course, comprised of 100% pure bullshit, who did not have business before the court was not reportable. And as the basis for that, he says that his colleagues on the court told him he didn't need to. Now, he was put on the court 30 years ago. He is now the oldest member of the court. God. Fappy Thomas hanging out at the Bohemian Grove. Just, the visuals are too much. Doing little fawn-like dances through the redwoods. He put on the court 30 years ago. Fappy gambling among the trees with a pan flute, just like Zamfir. Help me, Herc! Help me, Herc! Oh, no. We can't get started. We're not going to go. No, we're not. So, the thing is, he didn't name names for the people who told him it was okay to accept a $500,000 vacation. Year after year after year after year. No, he didn't. Because, you know, those were colleagues on the court. You know, who are dead. I mean, let's just take a few names. Can you see RBG saying, nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's a $500,000 vacation. Don't worry about it. Now, on the other hand, another dead justice, you know, fat dead Tony Scalia, you can hear him. What's a $500,000 vacation among friends?
You don't gotta disclose that. I mean, hell, I go duck hunting with the Vice President of the United States, and he's got business before the court. Do you see me recusing myself? Fuck no, fuck that. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It's really handy when the witnesses who gave you the advice are all dead and shit.
God, he's dirty. He's filthy.
Little vacations in the Adirondacks.
There's only one problem. That Adirondack resort, Harlan Crowe doesn't own that directly. That's owned by a company Harlan Crowe owns. And, well, that presents a different problem. Stephen Gillers is a law professor at NYU. He said, Thomas is shamelessly seeking to shift the blame for his failure to report Crowe's princely hospitality to advice he allegedly received from other justices when he joined the court more than 30 years ago. Most of them are now dead and conveniently cannot contradict him. Dead justices tell no tales. On the other hand, Charles Gay, G-E-Y-H, I might be mispronouncing that. There's every chance of that. Just flat out said he, in somewhat polite language, thinks Fappy is lying through his teeth. He's a law professor at Indiana University and a specialist in judicial ethics. And he flat out said he doubted that any justice would have told Fappy not to disclose if he'd told them, well, it's a $500,000 vacation with private jets and private 162-foot yachts and trips to private islands. And yeah. And then, getting more to the point, and this article is from the Associated Press. It's pretty thorough. Up at Pitt, Arthur Hellman is an ethics expert, and he kind of got to the core of it, because remember, dudes like Fappy are supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety, not just outright impropriety, which this is. And so Arthur Hellman at Pitt said, yeah, you know, even if he reasonably believed he didn't have to disclose, he should have anyway, because appearance of impropriety, it would have been preferable in the sense of public confidence in the courts if he had disclosed. And even Fappy, recent changes to the ethics rules for the Supreme Court were announced. Even then, he got all weasel-wordy and lawyerly about it and said,
it is, of course, my intent to follow this guidance in the future.
We could probably spend the next 3 hours parsing that. Intent is not the same as action. And, of course, one of the first rules that I ever learned when I entered law school was in the first day of torts. All liability is based on fault. You'll notice the word intent does not appear in there. Now, this is as to civil actions, not, civil harms, not a criminal law. Criminal law usually requires intent. And so that's why he says, in the future, he'll behave ethically, or at least he intends to. He intends to behave ethically in the future. Maybe he just didn't before. Hellman went on to say, if I had to predict, I'd say Justice Thomas will be seeing less of Harlan Crowe's luxurious properties. I wouldn't count on that.
Oh, heck no, Artie. These people are shameless. He has no compunction against manifest appearances of impropriety and actual impropriety. I mean, this is a guy who whose own wife was involved with the insurrection and still refused to recuse himself from consideration of cases about the about the attempt to steal the election on behalf of Nitwit Nero. So that's, yeah. I just figured we probably needed that little update to get us started. Matt in San Francisco says, who among us hasn't enjoyed gallivanting around the world in our friend's private jet and island hopping on their private yacht? That's where I spend my vacation, on a billionaire's dime. And we would never, never talk shop. Oh, heaven forfend, Matt. No, you wouldn't talk shop. Maybe Fappy sits around and talks about how ashamed he is of his Yale law degree. By the way, up at Yale, they've raised something like $110,000 for a Justice Scalia portrait fund so that they can hang an oil painting in the Yale Law School of him. I wonder, I think it would be only fair if there was a Coke can with a pubic hair on it in the portrait. Maybe an old school VCR and TV combo set up behind him, with maybe the tape ejected, and on the label it says Long Dong Silver's Greatest Hits. You know, we talk about all these things, and this is, wow, this guy's actually on the Supreme Court. You know, thanks to the duplicity, mendacity, cupidity, and the craven political cynicism of the Republican Party. Flavio, in regard to Fappy, says, oh, please, if you're smoking cigars with Leonard Leo and other right-wing fixers, you should know they don't just have business before the court. Their business is the court. That's a quote from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Labor man, Gary, out in New Mexico. Good point, Crooked Tom. To hell with asking the other justices. What about asking the IRS? Oh, did I just intermingle Fappy and just and Fat Dead Tony? Yeah, thanks for letting me know, Robson. I regret the error. Yeah, how about the, well, and that's where you begin to run into problems. Because there's no ethical body that oversees the Supreme Court. Because then it wouldn't be supreme if they couldn't just be as corrupt as they wanted to be. If they wanted to be. Stephen Gillers, Steve lets me know. He's not just a professor at NYU. He's written a casebook on professional responsibility. Gillers on Regulation of Lawyers, Problems of Law and Ethics. I recognized his name. Oh, dear, dear, dear Robin. Uncle Clarence said he didn't like Europe. He said nothing about Indonesia, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia. But he doesn't like beaches. Fappy doesn't. He prefers to hang out in the Walmart parking lot. him and Jen Surrectionist. Maybe they got him a big old jacked up pick 'em up truck with barbecue grill bolted to the bed. Probably one of them rolling coal diesel trucks too, and it probably got truck nuts on the back and maybe a couple of Confederate flags. That sounds about the speed for Fappy, doesn't it? Because it does to me. Speaking of Leonard Leo, by the way, News Ninja Gene sent this along. Thanks, Gene. According to an investigation by The Guardian, Leonard Leo is being accused of playing fast and loose with $73 million from nonprofit groups. David Smith in Washington writing, Leonard Leo, a right-wing legal activist, has raked in more than $73 million over 6 years from nonprofit groups that may be diverting money illegally to his businesses. This according to an investigation by the Campaign for Accountability, a nonprofit watchdog in D.C. They're calling for an investigation of seven different nonprofit groups that are joined at the hip to Leonard Leo. And the Campaign for Accountability says that the may be misusing millions of dollars for the personal benefit of insiders, which of course is a violation of their tax exempt status. They went over 6 years of filings from organizations that are joined to Leonard Leo. And those businesses paid some $73 million to Leonard Leo's for-profit businesses. They have filed an Internal Revenue Service complaint as a result. Leo caused several recently formed nonprofits to pay him directly or indirectly more than $73 million over a six-year period from 2016 to 2021. Good work if you can get it. Leonard Leo runs BH Group and CRC Advisors. They were paid for consulting work. By the nonprofit groups. The nonprofit groups are various and sundry dodges like the Rule of Law Trust, the 85 Fund, formerly known as the Judicial Education Project, the Concord Fund, formerly known as the Judicial Crisis Network, the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies, well, I'll be dipped, Freedom and Opportunity Fund, Wellspring Committee, and the Marble Freedom Trust. And it's funny because according to a story from Politico, Leonard Leo's personal wealth rose parallel to his ability to raise massive amounts of political funds. And of course, when the nonprofits paid Leonard Leo's for-profit businesses, this inured to the business, to the benefit of, you know, because cui bono. Who else? Leonard Leo. God, what a great racket. Just to give you an idea of his wealth. Between 2016, according to the Campaign for Accountability, he earned between $305,000 and $435,000 annually as an employee of the Federalist Society. You see, all of these right-wing freaks that have been foisted upon the American people to take away our rights in the name of federalism and originalism and textualism and Christianity. Well, They paid him between $305,000 and $435,000. And he bought a $710,000 home in McLean, Virginia. In that area, a $710,000 home might be a refrigerator box over a metro grate. But about 2016, life started getting a lot better for Leonard Leo. He paid off the 30-year mortgage on his home in McLean. Wanna bet he also paid off another mortgage over in Maryland? You know, Shay Kavanaugh? Last year, he bought a $3.3 million summer home with 11 bedrooms in Mount Desert, Maine. But that wasn't enough, so he bought another home in Mount Desert, Maine for $1.65 million. The IRS complaint has language that says Leo had a reputation for wearing fine tailored suits and gold jewelry, as well as an intimate familiarity with the best and most expensive wines and restaurants in every major city in the world. So over at the Campaign for Accountability, the executive director, Michelle Kuppersmith, says that their organization is asking that the tax-exempt status of the groups be yanked. The Guardian noting that the IRS does not approve of using nonprofits as basically laundromats to wash money through in a tax-exempt way and then out the other end to two private entities. Ms. Kuppersmith said, "We're hopeful that the IRS and or the DCAG will take up this complaint and use the evidence that we're presenting, which is very carefully thought out and laid out in legal language and all of the relevant statutes that we believe are being violated, along with a lot of the background to provide the evidence as to why." Hey. You think maybe Leonard Leo might have told Fappy he didn't have to worry about disclosing the $500,000 vacations? And Leonard Leo was, of course, the fascist who drew up the nominations list for the Supreme Court that ultimately resulted in Ann's boy Neil, Brat, and the handmaid being nominated to the court. And was even an advisor to Nitwit Nero. In a statement, Leonard Leo said, "We put our clients' money to work more effectively than any other enterprise of its sort, as the media has confirmed numerous times." And then, of course, he complained, The Campaign for Accountability, that's one of those liberal dark money groups. George Soros! Yeah, actually, he didn't say anything about Soros, but you can take that as read these days. Are there any of them that aren't just crooked as a dog's hind leg? I don't know, Ralph. So it remains to be seen. Ralph says, will Fappy have to make an amended IRS statement or two? I'd rather make a confession in front of a court of law and head off to prison for the rest of his natural born days. Jack in Shreveport, Lenny Leo was Judicial Crisis Network, now under a new name connected to that weirdo that runs the Judicial Watch organization I see on Twitter and elsewhere. Not sure. But there's a certain amount of incest involved with all of these right-wing organizations. Mount Desert, Maine. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn ad hoc Maine research committee. Oh, yeah, that's probably a nice place. Mount Desert is near the Acadia National Park. A stone's throw from Bar Harbor. The Acadia Wilderness, yeah. Yeah, lots of yachts in the harbor there too. Maybe Fappy and Jenny could sail up there sometime soon and see their pal. See their pal Lenny. Wouldn't that be awesome? Be great for them. Yay. Crooks, one and all. And I wanted to make sure that I got this little clip in. This is worth paying attention to. Yesterday, toward the end of the day, the Lincoln Project posted a video from Rick Wilson. And it's actually important because he brings into the public consciousness that bullshit, fraud, no labels. Yeah, you know, they pop up from time to time. No labels, third way. And Rick Wilson calls them out for the bullshit artists that they are, and there's something particularly nauseating tucked into the middle of it.
On a scale of 1 to 100, how worried should we be about no labels? Nancy Burke. Nancy, the answer about no labels is a billion. A jillion T-billion. Imagine a number so large ChatGPT could never parse it in 1,000 years of processing time. No labels is a pro-Trump super PAC. Nancy Jacobson and Mark Penn are leading a pro-Trump super PAC. They are funded by Republican billionaires. They are registering to be on the ballot only in states where Joe Biden narrowly won or lost, because they want to go in there and put Joe Manchin on the ballot. They've already said they're going to do this. Joe Manchin will run as a conservative Democrat on the no labels ticket. He will pull conservative Democrats away from Biden, and Trump will win. This is their plan. They are not trying to accomplish a third party. They're not trying to accomplish centrism or independent voters or everybody singing fucking kumbaya. Mark Penn and Nancy Jacobson are a pro-Trump super PAC taking millions of dollars of Republican major donor money to elect Donald Trump for a second term. This is absolutely what you should think every time you hear no labels. If you hear no labels problem solvers, it sounds great, doesn't it? You know who they named as a problem solver in 2016? Donald fucking Trump. They're a pro-Trump super PAC. They're raising $70+ million from billionaire Republican hedge fund guys and billionaire Republican developers and billionaire Republican Silicon Valley types so they can elect Donald Trump. There's no debate about it. There's no negotiating about it. The numbers don't lie. You look at their maps, which they've changed multiple times now to try to get out of trouble on this. They're in places where Joe Biden absolutely must win, and their candidate, Joe Manchin, who is the single most corrupt individual in Congress in my lifetime by an order of magnitude, and I've been around a long damn time, folks, he will be their guy. They think he will calibrate to pull soft Democratic voters away from Biden, and they will elect Donald Trump with that. And their bullshit statement of, we're only doing this as a contingency plan, a break glass in case of fire plan, you know, if both candidates are morally unacceptable. What is that they're saying to you guys? Because they know Joe Biden's going to be the Democratic candidate. They're saying that Joe Biden is morally equivalent to a guy today who sat in a courtroom being indicted for 34 fucking felonies. They're saying that Joe Biden is equivalent to a guy who ordered his neo-Nazis and his stormtroops and his terrorists and his fanatics to storm the U.S. Capitol to overturn a free and fair democratic election. That's what they're saying. Don't buy their bullshit. They need to be burned to the fucking ground politically. They are a threat to this republic. They are a pro-Trump super PAC.
I don't think it could have been any more clear to you. Joe to the mansion born. This does raise some interesting questions, though. I could be wrong, but I don't think in the state of West Virginia he can run for president and run for Senate at the same time. If he lets himself be sucked into this, it will be because he, Joe to the mansion born, has been well paid. Because remember, first law of mansions, mansions never do anything that doesn't benefit someone named Manchin. It's just a fact. Dig deep into anything he's ever done for the state of West Virginia, you'll find that he's benefited one way or another from it as well. That's some nasty shit. And what he says about no labels is true. They are pro Tangerine Tiberius. They want us thrown back into the clutches of that adipose waddling lump of petty grievances and hate. And it just makes a knot form in my stomach to think about that. But there's also probably some background strategery here, too, insofar as they might, well, it might counterbalance, say, for instance, if Monkey Up Duplantis somehow manages to become the Republican, the Maggot Party nominee, and Nitwit Nero then has to run as an independent, they'd have to siphon a lot of votes in order to get Nitwit Nero over the 270 hump. This is, well, just a massive con. And of course, the no labels people will be out there talking about how we've got to have moderation in our politics. And their idea of moderation in politics is Donald Trump or Joe Manchin. How can you hate this country so much? Well, I shouldn't even ask, should I? Because they do. They just do. So we'll move on from that, but it's probably worth talking about in the later conversation. That refrigerator box over at Steve in New York said, oh, I bet it was at least a Maytag box. Maybe an LG, huge side-by-side refrigerator box. That might work. Folks are beginning to gather in the old holler tree. We'll be heading there in a few minutes. Speaking of Nitwit Nero, there's this. A dirty Russian blood-soaked merchant of death. I mean, that's his nickname, the merchant of death. Back several years ago. I think it was Nicolas Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage played this guy in the film Lord of War. His name is Victor Bout. He's an arms dealer. And apparently, Victor Bout is worried about Nitwit Nero. So he posted a little warning that he hoped Nitwit Nero will see. Today I sent a telegram to the former U.S. President, Mr. Donald Trump. First and foremost, I consider that his life is in danger. And that the legal process which has now begun in New York won't just end in Donald Trump being convicted and barred from the election.
Тем, что Дональда Трампа осудят и не допустят его на выборы, скорее всего, он будет просто там.
Most likely he will simply be eliminated there. I think Viktor Bout is confusing Moscow with New York with Moscow, where people mysteriously fall out of windows, who especially or mysteriously get poisoned. Therefore, I think it is in interest of all humanity and primarily the American people.
Я думаю, в интересах, наверное, всего человечества и прежде всего американского народа это.
To invite Donald Trump here to Russia, Mother Russia, to give him security and protection here, and all the prepubescent girls he would like to have sex with while we record him with camera. Okay, I added the part about the prepubescent girls, but, you know, we know the St. Petersburg story.
Во-первых, безопасность и защиту, и для того, чтобы он, во-первых,
So that he leads this uprising against the globalists.
Главил это восстание против глобалистов, а самое главное...
And most importantly, does not allow the elimination of the American people. Well, who's going to eliminate us, Viktor? You fucking murderer?
Не допустил уничтожения собственного американского народа.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Send Donald Trump to mighty nice country you got going there. Send us Donald Trump or Putin's gonna do something. Now he thinks that, and it really does show the degree to which people who live in authoritarian states do not understand what open societies are and are supposed to be. He thinks the United States is every bit as dirty as Mother Russia. Because the government will bump Donald Trump off. If anything bumps off Donald Trump, it'll be Big Macs. And so now, now that we know that the maggots are, you know, they are who they are, I'm sure Viktor Bout, Lord of War, will be a hero to the maggot circles. Because, of course... This is the guy we swapped for Brittany Griner. And so now he's back in Mother Muscovy. And he's got to kind of earn his keep. Now talk about being eliminated by the state. Alexei Navalny? Anybody? They poisoned him, now they've imprisoned him. So there's that. And, of course, I guess it wouldn't be, just the world in which we now live if we didn't have a monkey up sighting, Ron Monkey Up to Clandest down in Florida. He is, and sometimes I struggle for appropriate language, and I just can't get past any other primary descriptor for Ron Monkey Up DeClantis than fascist. You know, just because they don't goose step and don't wear brown shirts doesn't mean they're not fascists. That's a mistake we've made for generations. Oh, we know what Nazis look like. Not necessarily. So down in Vero Beach, Florida, they have a book in the high school library there called Anne Frank's Diary, The Graphic Adaptation. It's a graphic novel. And Moms for Liberty, sit, Liberty, sit. Woof. And the Vero Beach chapter, and its chairwoman, Jennifer Pippin. Well, we've had first book burning. Yes, we had first book burning. What about second book burning? Yes, Pippin. She has insisted, and the school has knuckled under and removed Anne Frank's Diary, the graphic adaptation. Why? Well, part of the graphic novel includes a depiction of young Anne Frank walking in a museum among, wait for it, nude statues that Jennifer Pippin and Moms for Liberty say are sexually explicit. Here's the problem. In her diary, Anne Frank describes one day in which she and a friend a friend who was a girl wanted to kiss. And look at each other's naked bodies. Anne Frank describes that. Anne Frank wrote that in her own hand. And there's every reason to believe that Anne Frank would have seen nude statues. I mean, it's part of the classical tradition, the Renaissance tradition, the elevation of the divine human form. And the Moms for Liberty realized they knew they were kind of playing with dynamite. So Jennifer Pippin said, "We think the true history absolutely needs to be taught, the Holocaust, the Anne Frank Diary, except the part about the naked bodies and the girls kissing." I added the last part. But Jennifer Pippin is definitely wrought. She's positively wrought by the scene in the book where Anne Frank asks a friend to look at one another's nude bodies. Because that don't got nothing to do with Holocaust education, y'all. That's just icky LGBTQ gay stuff. We don't need to know. We don't need to know if Anne Frank was queer. The story I'm working from says that the school principal later determined that some of the text did not contribute to the themes of Holocaust education. Right, because no gay people were killed in the Holocaust. None. There were no pink triangles. Heaven forfend. And Jennifer Pippin went on and said that, we got about 250 more books we want out of that school library. And now they have a district objection committee in Indian River County. A bunch of parents who may not know shit from Shinola. They still make Shinola. Who are appointed by members of the school board and some district employees. Because Florida. It just never seems to. Well, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Among the right wingers. For anyone who wants to know, the entry is January the 6th, 1944. In that entry, Anne Frank, who by then was 14 years old, writes about how she asked a friend if they wanted to show each other their bodies. And then she talks about how she wanted to kiss her friend and the feelings that she had when she saw photos of statues in her art history book because, well, back then, art history was a thing you could teach 14-year-olds, but not in America! We can't see them having, we can't have the children seeing the devilish dingus of David. Yeah. Good God. So sad. So tragic. But, only parts of the Holocaust are teachable, according to fascists like Jennifer Pippin. Because there were no lesbian Jews murdered. There were no gay Jews murdered. There were no trans people murdered at all because trans people didn't exist. It's a sort of a sanitized Holocaust. What a sickening notion. What an utterly disgusting idea. Teach the whole of the Holocaust or don't teach it. Well, teach the whole of the Holocaust. Including the parts that Jennifer Pippin finds icky and gay. I know. Sexually explicit. Darlene in Connecticut says, "What the statues are having sex?" Well, I got to take a look at that novelty too. Oh well. Did you see the meme where they covered up David's dingus with an outline of the state of Florida? Sexually explicit statues, Lee says, suggesting a Jim Justice accent. I ain't never seen no way, shape, form, or fashion no statue ever having sex at any museum. Most of them's just staring blindly into space. Yeah, but at a church, that's something entirely different. That's nakedness in the name of Jesus. Emilio says, don't worry, Robin. They'll replace the Anne Frank graphic novel with the Turner Diaries graphic novel. How different can they really be? You know, that's... I know you're being facetious, but that's kind of an interesting point. I wonder what would happen if they tried to... If someone tried to put the Turner Diaries in, say, the Vero Beach High School Library. You reckon Jennifer Pippin would get all wrought at that? Because I'm guessing the answer is no. Lee takes issue with me. They don't hate this country. It's that they do not care at all about this country. Isn't that amazing? How something can persist in the language long after it's gone. Lee tells me that Shinola went out of business in 1960, but somehow or another, not knowing shit from Shinola, has persisted for 63 years. Thanks, Lee, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Shinola Research Department. Oh, Jiminy frickin' crickets. Hi, Megan. Robin, if it's the part in Anne Frank you're talking about, that issue with the scene had nothing to do with two girls kissing and more to do with the fact that they were locked in someone else's basement because their government was trying to kill them. I know. Young adolescents are going to experiment. They were adolescents in a time when they had to be literally holed up with very few outside contacts. Given that this country had whole shit fits about locking down during a pestilence sweeping over the land, I would think this part would have been more understandable, but no, it's got to be about the girl on girl action, y'all. This is why I hate human beings at times. At times. I know. January 6, 1944. And in it, those immortal words of hers, I still believe that people are basically good. Paraphrasing. Well, I mean, of course it's got to be the hot girl-on-girl action, Megan. Because we're talking about maggots, Republicans, fascists objecting to content. And one of the first things the fascists always do is lean into the ideas of degeneracy. Deviance. Because it plays into the overall narrative of how the fascists will return a proper regard and respect for traditional family values. Oh. Yet remember, the Nazis themselves went after gay men, but they were fairly content to leave the lesbians alone, especially if every once in a while a lesbian could manage to have a kid or two. I know, Megan. We gotta hide sex from children, Lee in New York says. Kids need to play games. Don't tell the right wing about Game of Thrones. I didn't even watch the series, and I know what the Red Wedding is. So that's a little cross-section of what we've got for the evening. I gotta tell you, I've spent more time thinking about the Bud Light butthurt than I should have, but it's just... It's so emblematic of just how clueless these people are. You know, there's, what's his name, Robbie Ritchie, I think. Robbie Ritchie is the real name of Kid Rock. funny how he's opposed to people being called by their preferred names, and yet he doesn't go around as Robbie Ritchie. Go figure. But this idea that, you know,
I was drinking Bud Light because I thought that was a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical beer. Loved America. Now I got to shoot four cases with my machine gun.
Did they not? Is it just because I'm old and I remember how tongue-in-cheek Budweiser's advertising has been, like, forever? They even, you know, they even mocked at one point in time. They mocked the He-Man macho notion of their product. And I still laugh my ass off every time I see one of these things. Are these maggots so ironically challenged that they don't realize that the real men of genius was not about real men of genius?
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
More than any neon sign or exploding scoreboard ever could, your chrome dome cover says, "Hey guys, look at me."
What could you be thinking?
You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look phonier if it had a chin strap.
I look at you.
Made of space-age fibers, it can repel anything. Rain, wind, snow, and especially young women.
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Budweiser, Mr. Stud in a Rug. Then crack open another for that thing on your head.
I don't think it's all straight.
God, that just makes me happy. I love the church choir. I don't think it's on straight. And if you've ever wondered where any time that I refer to the junior senator from Kentucky, you know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, I stole it from the Budweiser commercial. Crack open a cold Budweiser for yourself and one for that thing on your head. And apropos, we're going to go to the old holler tree in a minute. Sparky, if you would go ahead and connect, please. But apropos to the times in which we live, because in the midst of all the drag queen Sturm und Drang, I keep coming back to big burly, muscle-bound, roided-up wrestlers stomping around a boxing ring in nothing but a pair of heavyweight panties. And, well, this.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it.
Ripping off heads.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Who knew it was going to be prophecy? But here we are. Sorry, that was kind of irresistible. Stand by a second, please. I'll be right back. Sorry, Ferg was getting a bit noisy. So, you know, you'll have that. By the way, the fallout continues in Tennessee. The kids are not all right. The kids are pissed, and righteously so. Further protests following the expulsion of Justin Pearson last night. He was the third to be tried. The white lady survived by one vote, and I imagine she feels terrible about it. But, well, she also remains in the body, and every time she stands up, she can call Cameron Sexton, that ugly little fascist speaker of the Tennessee House, out for what he did. And maybe they don't care about the optics. Maybe, I mean, that's kind of peak fascism, really. But the backlash is severe. This was the scene in the Tennessee Capitol yesterday. We heard some of their righteous fury. Then they just got downright, well, they ran out of fucks to give, the kids did. Oh my goodness, my stars and garters, where did those children learn? I bet they learned that in critical race theory or something. It's horrible, horrible that they would use such language and demean the honor and the decorum of that legislative body. Fuck those fascists.
Justin Jones said before leaving the chamber, we called for you all to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy. And the fact that the maggots in the legislature said, they did bring disorder and dishonor to the House of Representatives through the individual and collective actions. Students have staged walkouts. Meanwhile, the Tennessee's drag queen governor, Bill Lee, has said he wants to solve the problem by spending $155 million of Tennessee taxpayer dollars for more armed guards at the state, at schools in the state. Question, does that include, like, Covenant Presbyterian School? Are the people of Tennessee going to be on the hook for putting armed guards in a church and a church school? Well, if you were to ask our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties, they'd probably say, hell yeah, you can't discriminate against the churches by not giving government money to them. I don't know, maybe this should be, maybe this particular installment of the program should be Fuck You Fascists Friday. Well, we're all hooked up with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group. Come on by. If you've never been on Friday on the Front Porch, jump in. You are more than welcome. Love to hear from you. Yeah, you're right, Roger. Let's go over and... Roger, why don't you expound upon your previous statement there? Hey, Roger.
Yeah, hello. Well, all these school shootings have been, well, if we hadn't taken God out of the school, we wouldn't have this problem. And yet this one in Memphis, Tennessee, clearly had God in the classroom. And yet it got shot up as well. So there goes another one of your talking points down the drain, assholes.
Yeah, funny how that works. Yeah, it's kind of like something Malloy asked years ago. How come is it the tornadoes always hit Baptist churches?
And trailer courts.
True.
Anyhow, that's my only cognizant point for the beginning of the porch.
Well, good week so far?
Oh, yeah, it's a relatively good week, except the youngest grandchild has tested positive for COVID. But he seems to be on the mend in a very mild case. Fortunately, he just became old enough to get his vaccinations, so... He was vaccinated before he came down with it. The weather here is still wet and cold. I'm trying to dance between the raindrops and get my peas planted, but it'll probably be tomorrow. And my Cherokee purple tomatoes are up in the greenhouse. And one Ahi Amarillo of about the 30 I got planted has poked through the dirt in the greenhouse. So I'm getting started at the gardening number again, and I'm just kind of fat, dumb, and happy and trying to get thinner.
Thinner?
I'm on a serious cut back on a whole lot of things and go walk the malls in the rainstorm, but at least get a couple hours, hour and a half in walking around the malls. And I've quit drinking beer. And
That hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, but in a week I've lost 2 pounds, so...
Probably 2 pounds of barley malt.
Yeah, well, if I can do 2 pounds a week, come August I might be able to fit into my, quote, reunion pants, unquote, that I've worn to every high school reunion since the 10th, and it's become You know, oh, there's Roger. He's wearing the same goddamn clothes every one of these reunions. Well, I've worked hard to try and stay the same, and now I'm working at getting back down. I only got to lose about, 25, 30 pounds by the end of August.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. If I can do 2 pounds a week, that'll kind of put me close.
So, class of what?
1963.
Oh, wow. So you graduated high school the year I was born.
Well, I knew I had a couple of years on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right at the beginning of the baby boomers.
Yeah, you're the front end. I'm the back end.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I got my teaching credential when I did, was that all the teachers that had been hired to staff the schools for the baby boomers were all retiring. And so there were going to be a lot of openings. So get my credential in a field that's lacking credentials and you'll have a job. And I did. And now that I've been retired almost as long as I taught, I've only got another couple of years to go, and that will make me feel good that the state's paid me as long retired as they did while I was teaching.
Feels like winning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I planned my life out as kind of a total win. I stayed retired till I was 40, only working as much as I had to keep going and travel, and then I got a job, worked at it for 20 years, retired, and now I just get to sit around and do what I want when I want. Not rich, but we're comfortable. By the way, if you come out here for your appointment in San Diego, you best bring your road gear and plan on a trip up the coast. I mean,
why not? I think it would be great fun.
You've got people in San Diego. You've got people in the Bay Area that I've heard from off and on.
San Diego, L.A., the Bay Area.
Then you got Sparky.
Redding. I'm not on the coast.
In Redding, I said. And that gets you over to I-5. And then you got me. And then you got Chris up in Portland. And then Jude. So, I mean, you got a lot of empty beds that could be filled on your way up the coast.
That could
inland.
Yeah, that just sounds like an absolute blast, and that's rapidly becoming what the plan is. If I could make it work.
Do you follow Rick Smith at all?
Rick Smith?
The labor.
Oh yeah, he's a dear friend.
Okay.
And our buddy Arnold in PA works with him too.
A while back, did a tour around the upper Midwest and hit the old towns that have kind of fallen apart because the factories left and that kind of thing. Did you catch any of those programs?
Oh, yeah, because, among other things, he came through my neck of the woods. He was down in Logan County, West Virginia.
I must have missed that. I don't catch him all the time, but I do catch him often enough. But anyhow, it could be, a tour of the Blue Coast, so to speak, and how it differs and how environments are different and how the parks are and things like that. I'm just thinking, there'd be plenty of material for a tour sort of like Rick Smith did.
I think that would be great.
What time of year?
It remains to be seen. There are several variables in play. Money is one, and scheduling is another, because these doctors are incredibly busy. So if you get your consult, let's say I got the consult in June, I might have a surgery date in September.
Well, if the timing could be worked out, I would suggest not trying to do it from October through March, April, simply because of the winter weather would hamper your sightseeing abilities. Walking on the beach in a pouring rain is not enjoyable. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I get that.
Or walking through a redwood forest where after the rain at 500 feet stops on the floor of the forest, it's still raining 2 hours later because of all the water that's on the branches of the redwood trees slowly dripping down to the forest floor. Now, it is true that you can be hiking in the redwoods and it can start raining and you won't feel a drop for an hour, but when it finally starts getting through the canopy, it keeps going after the rain stops. So anyhow, that is just a thought of your possibilities when you come out to the West Coast.
I think it'll be a blast. The next question is, do I drive or do I fly? Because that's a lot. There's a lot of gear now. I mean, oddly enough, the broadcast rig is the easy part. That's two bags. But packing for like a month, because the recovery time on the surgery is like 2 weeks minimum. And
you'd be stuck in San Diego for that.
No, L.A.
L.A., okay.
Yeah.
L.A., San Diego, hell, it's all the same.
Surgeon's in Beverly Hills if he's the one I go with. I really want to go with him. Really
good. Well, I think that would be something that you might want to consider on cost, because the cost to rent a car in Los Angeles to drive up, in essence, to Seattle and then back, compared to the cost for you for driving from West Virginia and having your own car to do that north-south drive. And I have no idea what the numbers are. I have no idea what it costs to rent a car anymore because it's been so long since I did it. Well, actually, it was...
I just did a week-long rental for $250 with Enterprise.
Well, I can't think fast enough anymore to try and calculate that out, but
so it'd probably be about $1,500 for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Plus fuel.
Well, the fuel is a wash.
And gas prices that kill you out here.
But that little Toyota Camry I had, it was, if you put it on the eco button, if you use the eco button, that thing was easy on gas. I think that whole week long trip all the way to Princeton, New Jersey, and then back through DC and then home, I think that whole trip was maybe $100 worth of gasoline at, call it, $3.40 a gallon.
Well, here in this area, I only get gas about once a month in the one car that we still drive that's gas. But the gas stations are starting creeping up toward $4 again.
Well, and we saw what the Saudis recently did. Those miserable pricks. Deliberately trying to fuck with Joe Biden by calling a halt to production.
Well, and then we saw what the oil companies did is the oil that's on the tankers that was headed here had already been bought and paid for. But instantly they raised their prices because, well, the new oil we're going to be getting is going to be more expensive. Therefore, we have to raise our prices in anticipation. But then when the prices come back down, the crude prices come back down, we had all this expensive stuff, and now we've got to keep our prices high so we can recoup our costs. I mean, it's the whole right-wing cabal that's in charge of the entire economy in this country that is doing anything and everything they can do to cause inflation to be high so that Fox News can tell all their followers that it's the Democrats that are causing inflation.
It's Joe Biden's fault.
Yeah.
And then you can, and then going based on the clip we had earlier, then you can hear, "Hi, I'm Joe Manchin. Maybe you want to vote for a Democrat, but Joe Biden's just too liberal. Vote for me. I'm
Robert
a Democrat."
Rice has been thumping on that. It's the corporations causing inflation for weeks.
Yeah, because he's right.
Oh yeah, I know he's right.
Oh, and hey, I gotta send out thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs got us off the goose egg, and said, "Here's $25 for fuck you, fascists." Hey, you know what? For the rest of the program, everything that comes in gets a hearty fuck you, fascist, from me or anybody else in the old holler tree that wants to throw one out there. Because I don't think I love that.
I'll get tuned up.
Okay, fuck you, fascists. Yeah. Fuck you, fascists. Right. Sparky, I just got a note from Scott saying he can't find the link for the porch. So could you bring him into the group, please?
It's right there on the top of the page. Tell him to refresh his page.
Okay, refresh the page there at headon.live, and the link's right there, Scott. Because I realized I kind of threw a monkey wrench into the works by changing the name, but I was just so tired of seeing and saying that name over and over again. Ugh. Just got wearisome.
Yeah, and it's nice now because your real name is up there now.
Yeah.
When you talk on Skype.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't, but, well, let me look here. Because I've got y'all on an iPad. So I don't, nothing's really happening on my end. I just see the group gathered in together there.
Well, it's down in one corner.
Yeah, apparently not on this iPad.
Oh. Well, it is on a Windows machine.
Because when I do the iPad thing, that means I can play clips on the production machine and everybody hears it. Because for some reason or another, when I do it the other way, if I've got the porch on the main machine and try to play audio, and for some reason the audio playback is not great on the iPad, so this is what worked out over time.
Well, I got some work done on my yard too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I have to work on the wheel ruts from the drill rig.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever posted the picture and you saw it.
Yeah, I did see it.
So I got my little tiller out there and started working it over, raking it. Then I got my tomato patch. First till on that.
Oh, so will you have your first tomato by July 4th, you think?
If I planted by April 15th.
What are you planting?
There's been frost lately, huh?
What are you going to plant? Anything new or just same?
Probably more early girls. I got hooked on these little tomatoes that they sell at the grocery store.
Oh, like the little grape tomatoes?
No, they're bigger than that. But they're grown down in San Maria, California. Grown vertical.
Oh, cool.
No warehouse.
Early girls are a hamburger tomato.
Whatever.
As opposed
to eat tomatoes now with this jalapeno ranch dressing that I was turned on to.
What brand? What brand? I need to know.
Whataburger.
Wow, Whataburger. Oh, won't be seeing that.
If you order it on Amazon, you will.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Oh, by the way, Roger, Jude said, Roger earns a cowbell on the Dominionist mandate that God's protection be in our schools. From my perspective, she's consumed in weeping. So there's your cowbell,
thank
Roger.
You, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
I got one other little tidbit I'll share with the family, and that is for the first time since COVID, I finally made it back to the eye doctor. And not unknown, but we've been keeping an eye on it. I've got wet macular degeneration in my right eye, which isn't causing any real problems, okay? I mean, it's minor distortion. So the doctor has prescribed, and I'm waiting for my phone call early next week for the first appointment, a series of 3 injections into my eyeball.
See, I'm already cringing.
Yeah, you're cringing. What about me?
Right, yeah.
Into my eyeball with some drug that reduces the growth of blood vessels, because wet macular degeneration are blood vessels growing behind the retina and leaking. So this drug they've got stops the formation of the blood vessels, and 98 times out of 100 causes the fluid that has built back up, built back behind the retina, to be reabsorbed, and it flattens back down if caught early enough, and mine has been caught early enough for this to be probably a 98% beneficial treatment. But I can't get new glasses until the 3 months are over, and then probably another couple, 3 months before the eye will have stabilized to make it worthwhile to get my right eyeglass ground to put into the frame. I could go get a new left lens if I wanted right now, but no sense getting a right lens done. But over the next 3-4 months, I'll keep you posted. I've been promised that my eye will be quite well anesthetized before they poke the needle into it, but the idea of a needle going into my eyeball just somehow causes me a little consternation.
Oh, yeah, and consternation in the family community congregation at large. Matt just wrote in and said, "Huh, Clockwork Orange flashback. Thanks, Roger."
I never could make it through that movie.
God, I never did. I hadn't made that connection, but yeah. Do they have to prop your eyes open?
Yeah, they do. They're like bumper jack your eye open.
Oh, God.
Can I do a shout out?
Yes, Sparky.
I want to call out Jeremy. You can't resist. He put something in the chat. Says, I'm addicted to the hot sauce. No, it's not that.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Oh, and thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just got jumped in alongside Ralph's, and so we're now down to $600 to go. That's just today and yesterday. And the bills, they are awaiting.
You're not being truthful. It's not an even amount.
No, it isn't. You're trying to make me do ciphering again, aren't you? Okay, so we are down to $598.31. Thanks, Jeremy, because you know I love ciphering on the fly.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah, Scott.
I'm a little late to the party today owing to a technical problem on this end. I must have missed the memo. You're coming to San Diego?
Something like late this summer. Probably going to have some, well, I hope to have some surgery out in L.A. And I'm going to try to do some traveling around where possible.
Well, let me know when that happens, because I certainly would like to cross paths with you in 3D.
Oh, I'd love that. There's so many people. It could just be sort of a horn-in tour, little mini. You know, who knows? Might have a little mini horn-in somewhere. Go down to San Diego, see you and Tamara and Billable Rick and Tracy and.
You remember that time that who was it? Rick and I guess was it Tamara?
Rick and Tamara and Joey.
And Joey and me. At the Outback, and then we called you from the Mission Valley Mall.
Yes.
I'll never forget that day. That was such a wonderful interlude. But anyway, definitely let me know because, maybe we could all get together for, brunch or lunch or certainly not breakfast because I'm never up that early. And if you consider Pop-Tarts. But who wants that? I mean, you can't. Anyway, but yeah, that's exciting.
It would be an absolute blast. And I have always wanted to drive across the country. It was 669 because of fuck you fascist. Jeremy says, okay, fuck you fascist. There. And it's fuck you fascist Friday.
I can see you in a convertible rolling down the highway, channeling your inner Dinah Shore. See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is the only home.
Anyway. Probably be a Toyota, but.
Oh, no.
But something with the top down, nice little scarf. Yeah. That could be, yeah. I recently learned how to deal with a headscarf for the first time. So many things. But yeah, there's a passage in All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren where Jack Burden, the narrator, talks about the urge to drive west across the continent. And it's always been strong with me. My dad did it coming home from the war. And what a trip that was. Wandered from Bremerton, Washington, down to Arizona, back up to Idaho. And there he was just dropping off his shipmates along the way, and they all promised they'd see each other again someday, and they never saw each other again.
Well, and that's an American tradition when you think about it. You know, we are a roaming, traveling people, and we're always, so part of our travels take us into conquering and overpowering territory, which is never a good thing. But if you just limit it to curiosity and expansion of one's own experience, it's a great country when you discount a fair number of the people, half of them. The country itself is neutral. It's just
beautiful, and it's beautiful too.
Oh yeah.
If you could pull it off, I would suggest some kind of a circular trip. The Southwest has its beauty, but it's desert. But when you head north and then head east, like out of Portland, you've got absolutely gorgeous country all the way to the Dakotas. And you could cut down at the Dakotas and kind of angle back over to West Virginia. But the Oregon, even Eastern Oregon, although it's a little bit of desert, but then you get into the mountains of Idaho, and then you've got the Yellowstone and Tetons. And
well, you have to remember, Roger, however I route this thing, if I do drive, I'm going to have to be very careful. Like, going across Texas or something, because that won't be safe.
Well, you're just a big woman, and you will have all the accoutrements by the time you go one way.
Are you a member of any auto club?
No.
Well, certainly there's got, maybe it's not part of the services of the usual auto club folks, but maybe there's a way to consult with some group on our side to, do a safe for Robin triptych not to use a AAA, you know, registered trademark, but to get from there to here, you know, in the safest manner possible, because that's not a, that's not a, a safe bet in today's world. Oh, one more, while I'm thinking about it very quickly, I have a request for the Horn family, especially those who believe in sending positive energy and good thoughts and stuff like that. I am desperately in need of finding a particular document that has my income information, because I've got to go see an agency next week, and I will be damned if I can find where I put it. And I'm starting to freak out and get all frantic. And I even under best of circumstances, it's hard to find things when they're missing.
Well, I can be absolutely no help at all, Scott. And I can tell you it will be in the last place you look.
Well, I've heard that that's a common occurrence when it comes to. And see, I invoked my mother's guidance from childhood. I believe the patron saint of lost items was Saint Anthony. Well, then I looked that up just to be sure I'm praying to the right saint. I think he got decommissioned. He's like an old fucking battleship, you know? It's Mr. Anthony. You know, he's doing hair in Cleveland now.
And he's lost.
And he's like, he has no fucking idea where anything is. So, anyway, if you can help me find my annual income announcement from Social Security, I would appreciate it.
Can you not just go online and print that?
Just go to Social Security and they'll print out your stuff.
It's not a matter of, I don't have, the time frame is such that I know I have it here. It's just a matter of finding it.
And the time frame, Scott, is you go log into mysocialsecurity.com, I think is the name.
I don't have a printer, Roger. I don't have a printer.
Libraries do.
Well,
do you have a cell phone?
All right, I'm going to drop this part of the conversation because I appreciate the input. I'll find it. I've got a week or more to find it, and I'll find it. It's just frustrating. So send me calming vibes. I'd appreciate that. Ange.
Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting everything go.
I didn't hear what Sparky said.
Where did you put your previous years?
Oh, I wouldn't even. That's not the way to go on this. I found the most recent years, but it wouldn't have been kept with those anyway. It came here. I sat it down.
But your income hasn't changed, has it?
Since the last visit to this agency, it has. I need what the requirement is the current statement of income from whatever that source is.
How close is your closest Social Security office?
I don't know offhand.
Well,
okay, I think I read Scott.
Go to your Social Security office and walk in and say, I don't have a printer and I need this. Give it to me.
Well, I may end up doing that. I know it's downtown somewhere. I just would rather find it. Put it with my keys and my going out stuff so that I have it for a drop off in the coming week. But anyway, any of you who believe in that stuff about centering, calming,
vibes,
sharp,
that's what
vibes.
That's the thing. That's I get that. You don't need help getting a new copy. You need help with the peace, literally peace of mind that comes with finding a lost thing.
Yeah, because I know it's here, okay? I know it's here. It's just a matter of finding which pile of crap it resides in, you know? I don't want to take up the time.
No, that's okay. And Jude, being our the Horn's spiritual advisor, said, I offer my mantra of let it be as it will. I understand, Jude says. Thank you, Jude.
Hey, Rob.
Well, wait a minute. That implies that it will remain lost. Yeah.
No, if you let it be, it will manifest.
Oh. So if I find myself in tribal time of trouble or tribe of trouble, Mother Mary comforts me, speaking words of wisdom.
Let it be.
Let it be, Dan.
Hey, Jude. Oh, that was...
Hey, Robin.
Yeah,
Jeremy. What do you make of this piece in the Washington Post that seems to be circulating around trying to freak people out, saying that Biden's saying he's going to ban certain students from sports? Do you think it's a hit piece like I do?
No, it's being... I've seen various manifestations of it. I talked about it some in yesterday's program. On the one hand, it's good insofar as they are rejecting categorical bans under Title IX. Just saying, no kids, no how, no way. No trans kids, no how, no way. But it's the wishy-washiness that comes later that is giving a lot of trans advocates pause. People downright angry. The Associated Press had a story earlier today. Biden's sports plan angers transgender advocates and opponents. So both sides are unhappy. That means maybe you're doing something right. I'm trying to see who they talk to. Imara Jones from the Anti-Trans Hate Machine podcast said Biden's trying to straddle the fence on a human rights issue ahead of an election year. The Biden administration framed their proposal as a ban on blanket discrimination against trans athletes, but actually it provides guidelines for how schools and universities can ban trans athletes legally. AOC said it was indefensible and embarrassing. Aaron Reed, who researches these anti-trans laws exhaustively, I don't know how she does it, says that it's alarming to this potential rule is alarming to the degree in which it sounds a lot like right-wing talking points. She went on to say, I can't read this any other way than a betrayal. This entire document is worse than doing nothing.
I got breaking news from Texas.
Yeah.
A judge halted FDA approval of the abortion pill.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was deliberately done with that one particular maggot judge in Texas. And that's why, among other things, the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, Jude told me about this earlier today, has ordered the state to begin stockpiling them. We're eventually going to have an underground railroad for this sort of thing. And of course, Idaho, you're talking about driving through Idaho? No, I won't be driving through Idaho.
But it's pretty, Bob. I mean, Robin.
I'm sure it's beautiful. You know, if you can live to tell the tale. But, you know, they've passed a law now that bans intrastate transportation for purposes of obtaining abortion or abortion pills. And it's a felony.
Well, does that mean that every minor girl that tries to leave Idaho needs to wave her bloody tampon at a border crossing?
Or submit to a, you know, pregnancy test. I forget, and I forget which state it is. Maybe it's Kansas that is setting up cis girls to be required to submit to a pelvic exam in order to play high school sports.
Well, now, I know California, on virtually every highway entrance, has what they call an agricultural inspection station. But I don't recall any other state having a border inspection to either enter or leave a state. So how is Idaho going to enforce their ban on teenage girls leaving the state of Idaho on the potential that they might be getting an abortion in Oregon? And when you leave California, you don't go through an agricultural inspection station. It's only entering. So how are they going to enforce their stupid fucking law?
they will find a way. Because and see, understand from jump, Roger, this is illegal as hell. This is unconstitutional as hell. California's inspections on entry have a rational basis for keeping invasive species out of California.
Well, hell, Idaho, all right, there's a little town on the Idaho-Oregon border. It's got, I don't know, 3,000 people or something in living in the town. And they have 14 and three more in the works dispensaries because they're an hour from Boise. And all the people who want recreational marijuana, and a lot of the employees in that in those Oregon dispensaries are actually people from Idaho. They drive over, go to work, and then drive back to Idaho. And the Idaho can't even keep the marijuana out. And now all of a sudden, every girl between the ages of 14 and 19 that wants to cross the 14 and 18 that wants to cross the border needs to be inspected as well, and you can't even keep marijuana out of your state?
Yeah, it's stupid. Maggots are stupid. We get it. And I'm not barking at you.
I know.
But the problem here lies in the fact that it's unconstitutional under just about any time in American in the history of American jurisprudence, but they think that they have these six most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties who'll just say, nah, fuck it, states' rights. And they think they'll get away with it. I don't know
With our Supreme Court, I can see where they would win.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we had the little teeny tiny microscopic victory in West Virginia insofar as a 12-year-old girl, or maybe she's 14 now, 14-year-old girl can continue to run track. I mean, that's what the Attorney General of West Virginia called a dire emergency in this state. And the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 vote, said, no, it fucking isn't. Go home. That means that Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson why am I sticking on the third liberal justice's name? Elena Kagan, old Balls and Strikes, Brat, the Handmaid, and Gorsuch all told the Attorney General of West Virginia to go shit in his hat. But that does not mean that that's how the case is going to play out by the time that it gets to full hearing, because what they were saying is this case needs to be tried. It's not ripe for Supreme Court action. So go back down, have your case, then bring the appeal to us, and then we'll fuck you. Then we'll fuck the 12 or 14-year-old little girl running track. Then we'll do it. And so these, you know, we're in a time when a victory isn't necessarily a victory.
We've been in that situation for a lot longer than most people would like to consider. And I think about any conservation fight, like putting a dam into a canyon or logging a sensitive watershed or building a subdivision on prime agricultural land. The conservationists can win and win and win and win, and yet they never fully win. But when the fascists win,
it's total.
The dam gets built, the subdivision gets built, the wetland gets drained or whatever, and it's gone forever. And this has been going on as long as I've been involved in the environmental movement, which goes back to my high school days. Education, same thing. When Ronnie Reagan started jacking up the fees in the California state colleges to eliminate education as being a right of all Californians, once those fees started going up, they're never, ever going to come back down. And, you know, like Roe v. Wade, we thought we had it taken care of. It was done. And then the bastards came back and said, ah, fuck you, it ain't done. We're going to send everybody back to the 60s and let your high school daughters die on a black alley abortion with a fucking coat hanger.
And that's fine by them.
Oh, yeah. It's the way God intended it.
Right. So, I mean, I can see a rational Supreme Court answer. I don't like it. But if they're going to be consistent with Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, they can say Idaho, per Dobbs, is free to ban abortion in their state as a will of the people. Which, of course, it isn't. But you cannot impact interstate commerce, and you cannot affect interstate travel. And they're also not the United States Postal Service. So they can't fuck with what can be shipped and not shipped into the state. Bernadette with a trenchant observation. The Idaho ban, the purpose of this law is not about enforcing it. Once the law's on the books, any objection raised about the law will have to work its way through the system. By then, the law will have achieved its desired effect, namely, fear. She's right. And Bernadette had added earlier, the evangelistic purity whitewashing of all history, black, classical, Floridian, especially that part, for the sake of the children that they won't save from the number one killer of children, guns, is the point of all of this. They need to perpetuate the purity image of white nationalism so their children won't grow up knowing the person they should have hated the most. This is their mom. Yeah, Bernadette never brings anything but her A game. And Matt, thank you. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, baby, you can drive my car. We just got a Tesla last week. You can test drive that in our Bolt and feel the future of electric cars. Well, that sounds fun. Someday we'll have those. You know, there are a few people driving electric car and, you know, plug-in stuff here. Just not a lot. Which always has amazed me because this is, you know, coal keeps the lights on. Well, that's coal-fired electricity charging your car. Why aren't the fiends of coal out there pushing electric vehicles? They're not real good at that whole thinking things through process. No.
Hey, Robin.
Yes, Scott.
I don't mean to veer too far off of this topic, but while I'm thinking of it, could I do a quick TV viewing tip?
Do please.
I watched one of the best documentaries I have ever seen earlier this morning. And let's see, where's the name of it? It's on Amazon Prime and other places as well. Do you remember the movie Parallax View?
Yes.
And the movie
vaguely.
The movie Clute with Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
And the movie All the President's Men.
Definitely.
Well, someone associated with all three of those films plus some others was Alan J. Pakula, and there is a documentary about him, a director and producer, Alan J. Pakula. It's called Alan Pakula, Going for Truth. And I'm telling you, if you want to get inspired, you know, by the work of one person, this would be the film to watch this weekend. Alan Pakula, Going for Truth. It just blew me away. And I was telling some people online about it. And my pal, John Barber, apparently knew him, was good friend. He and his wife were good friends with Pakula and his family. And he said, you couldn't want for a more stellar human being, not just a talented person, but just a genuine, you know, liberal, progressive, you know, want to leave the world a better place than he found it sort of person. So if you've got the time this weekend, watch that film. I think you'll be favorably impressed.
Sounds good. Well, I should note we are entering the third hour of this Friday on the front porch. Ralphs and Jeremy.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, look at the time.
I want me one of those.
Yeah. You know, you can order that clock.
Oh, I know. But all I do here is pay bills, so, yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I'm sure some occasion is coming up pretty soon where I think a presentation is in order for the Horn Studio. Class the joint up a little bit and get you a Jesus look at the time clock on laminated driftwood or whatever those things are made of.
I'm sorry, just every time, Jesus, look at the time.
Oh, Jesus, look at the time.
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah. But as we enter the third hour of the program, we are down to $598.31 for this Fuck You Fascists Friday. If you'd like to help us fully fund the first week of April, that would be amazing. And, well, I and the entire Horn community would be grateful. So, if it's possible, please do. And remember, we've only got one subscriber on the seventh day of the month over at PayPal. And every month, our buddy Zed in Iowa offers to double five $10 a month subscribers' first month subscription. So if that appeals to you, jump in and your 10 will turn into 20 this month. That'd be fabulous. And I should mention here also, hey, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe. Push that heart button at TuneIn Radio and leave a comment so that the program becomes more noticeable. Okay? Thanks. Please. And Brendan says, subject line, driving cross country. If I may say, fly, Robin, fly on your crystal ship. I'd recommend flying, if not only for the speed, but for the safety of it. In 1962, my first year in the U.S., I hitchhiked across the country. This was before the full interstate system was completed, so I followed routes 40 and 66 for a good part of the way. It was shocking, scary, and delightful back then. When I finally graduated college at 51 in 1995, I'd planned to drive as much of the original cross-country route as possible, but by then it had become the equivalent of entering Romulan space. White supremacist enclaves, Nazi Christian compounds, survivalist wackos, and the sundry plain vanilla fucknuts and scumbag cops scattered like landmines across the map. At least by flying, it can be an easier trip, where upon arrival, you will be greeted by any of us West Coast denizens who will transport you about. Peace, Lady Brendan. Thank you. Yeah, that might be the better part of... Because it's for somebody like me, it's a scary drive now. I mean, just to go and get a checkup with my surgeon down in Nashville. Now, granted, the law has been temporarily enjoined, but that doesn't mean that Sheriff Thumbbutt in Bumfuck County, Tennessee, knows that. But just going down to get a checkup with my surgeon who's in Nashville now becomes a dicey proposition. And Alabama, oh my. There's like 28 more days in their legislative session, and they're only getting started on the hate. And by the way, just because, just because she's obnoxious, let's have a check-in with Candio. You know, she works for that neo-maxi Zoom dweeby Shapiro, the guy with the dry wife, who objects to the WAP. And, you know, of course, Candio is... Well, we can remember her best as having worn her White Lives Matter shirt at Fashion Week in Paris alongside whatever his name is. And also for the fact that she once said that Adolf Hitler was a pretty good guy, had some good ideas if he just would have kept his nationalism inside his own boundaries. Her job is to be inflammatory. that's what she's paid for by the little dude who sounds like a castrato doing a bad Mickey Mouse impression. Little Benny Shapiro. And now she's got a new comparison to make. And God, for anybody old enough to remember the civil rights movement, and particularly, and I feel kind of sketchy saying this, but particularly if you are a person of color, God, this just rings so vulgar and so nasty. It would help, however, if I brought up the audio. Here we go.
Which brings me to the greatest civil rights violation of our time, which is taking place right now, and that is transgenderism. And I'm going to make a very strong statement right now, and I mean it. It is worse than Jim Crow laws, because we are mutilating the bodies of children. How could you not see that as something worse?
You know, she's a liar. I probably don't need to point that out, but she's a filthy fucking liar. There are no children's bodies being mutilated. Surgery is not performed on trans children before they reach legal adult age, 18. Now, granted, mutilations are taking place on cis children because, you know, here in West Virginia and other states, some creepy old dude can pay for a boob job on his 15-year-old child bride. Or maybe a labial reduction because he doesn't like how his child bride looks down there. Candio, however, she doesn't think that is mutilation. Oh, hell no.
What about circumcision?
Well, there's that too. That's that. Or, when they did the medical ban here in West Virginia and most other states, they always leave an exception for parents of intersex children, babies born with both sets or partial sets of both sexual organs, they always leave an exception for the parents to have that child operated on without the consent of the child and choose the gender for the child. And it very seldom ever works out like the child wanted.
But you know what, Robin and Horn family? I almost don't want to give her the point. She's not making a valid point. But let's say that she is interested in the topic of mutilation. I dare say that the high caliber ammunition in these fucking weapons of war that they want to normalize.
They have normalized.
You know, they you talk about mutilation. There's your fucking mutilation. I was watching something the other night, and they were talking about, and it's so easy to lose track, whatever the latest shooting was that involved school children, the child's head was nearly removed. You know, Jesus, that's craziness. That's madness.
Now, gun explainers will tell you the exact opposite and preach up and down on the Holy Cross that you're a liar. The only difference between an AR-15 and an M-16 is the fucking filing pin. That's it. It's the same fucking gun.
Well, they equate it with muskets, is how far back it goes. And there is no, this is to this, as that is to that. There is no comparison. And we all understand what the founders were trying to say when they said the right to bear arms, and we knew what they were talking about. And if they got into a fucking DeLorean, a souped-up DeLorean, and set the dials and came to this moment in time, they wouldn't need the powdered wigs. Their hair would turn white naturally.
True.
So so tell me more about mutilation.
Yeah.
Focus on what I'm talking about.
Child chutney, that's mutilation.
Which is based in reality, not this horseshit that she's out there flinging up into the cheap seats. Anyway, I had my rant, and now I'm going to sit down and rest a while.
Well, she's got a little bit more burbling yet to do.
You segregated white people versus black people. You wouldn't be harming children, and we are doing that.
And so segregation didn't harm black children. Funny. That's actually central to the analysis in Brown v. Board of Education now, isn't it? That separate but equal ain't equal. That black children were being harmed by being kept out of good white schools.
And once again, the same usual suspects are supporting it, the mainstream media. Look around you. New York Times, The Washington Post, they're fostering this delusion. They're saying it's compassionate to allow your child to pick their gender.
No, they're not saying that. No one is saying that. Fucking liar. It's not children choosing their gender, it's children being their gender. There's a hell of a difference. But again, we talked about this a little bit last night. Ism. Transgenderism. So once again, we're talking about a philosophy instead of human beings' lives and their political rights.
Science is in, guys. It's totally fine to allow children to take drugs that chemically castrate them.
No, it isn't, and they don't. And notice chemically castrate, so, you know, once again, the trans guys can just fuck off. They're not seen. This is her abetting right-wing male fragility. I posted that thing on Facebook yesterday about how maggot DeClantis dudes get upset about every little thing, but I must confess I didn't have Bud Light butthurt on my 2023 right-wing snowflakery bingo card. And a friend of mine posted, things that hurt them. One, men in dresses that read books to kids. Two, black mermaids. Three, beer cans with rainbows on them. If we go to war with China or Russia anytime soon, they comprise close to half our population. We are so screwed. And this, of course, is right-wing hyper-masculinity. And they're terrified. You know what they're scared of? They're scared if trans kids transition soon enough, early enough, they won't wind up like me. You know, broad-shouldered, 6 feet 2 inches tall, size 13 shoes, hands like catcher's mitts. You know, these are the dysphoric things that I deal with every day. But it beats not being alive at all.
And that's the part that these transphobes will never understand or choose not to. That it's not so much the... It's not the... How do I put this? I'm trying to put this so it makes sense. It's not the body parts that give the... It is the body parts, but changing those body parts helps ease dysphoria. Dysphoria is in the mind. It's not in the body parts. And they don't understand that changing things to the way they feel they should be enlightens that a whole lot and change your whole personality, basically.
That was certainly the case for me. The dysphoria eased.
Most people go through it.
The dysphoria eased up as I got further into hormone therapy, but the biggest part of it went away after surgery. I don't know. I can't explain the science of it. I don't know it, but I know that when I, like 2 days after, when I woke up and I was like, wait a minute, where's the internal debate? Where's the constant arguing? It's gone. And it stayed gone. I am still dysphoric, as I just mentioned, about a number of things. But the worst of it has, I've had some relief. But what they're scared of, and this goes back to the fragility of right-wing hyper-masculinity, patriarchal masculinity, what they're scared of is that, well, let's just put it this way. I'd love to see Benny Shapiro's browser history. I bet you he's watching trans girl porn every minute that his poor dry wife isn't around to catch him. And they are scared to death that when because, again, it's about the trans girls, not the trans guys. They're scared to death that when trans girls transition early, that they won't be able to tell the difference. And then they might have sex with a trans girl, and that would make them gay. Because you have to remember, they were hating gay people long before they were hating trans people.
You think Candace Owens gets off to white power videos?
Probably. Yeah, I could see that.
That's an evil thing to say, but she deserves it.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it's evil. I think it's entirely likely. And so let's let her just finish her little hate filled. Imagine being a woman of color and saying Jim Crow wasn't so bad. Imagine being a woman of color and saying, what's a lynching every now and then? And by the way, for the black men that white people lynched all over the South, what was one of the things that they made sure to do? With sickening regularity?
Mutilate them.
Yes.
Castrate them before they killed them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't tell Candio. Because Candio don't want to know.
That render them infertile for the rest of their lives. It's good for their mental psyche. There are all sorts of doctors and people with PhDs that are writing this. In fact, doctors and surgeons are performing these procedures to mutilate the bodies of our most vulnerable.
No, they aren't. They simply are fucking not. That's the whole point of the blockers, y'all. It's reversible. You go off of them, boom, puberty starts.
You know what the deal is with this woman? At least one of the deals with this woman?
What?
Is what you described about your own personal experience during the initial phase of transitioning or transition, you know, and the oneness that it brought to yourself and the tranquility that being who you are brought about for you and continues to, and it's only going to grow and magnify. She's never had that experience as near as I can figure, because one of the attributes of one being happy with oneself is to live and let live and not be on other people's case and want to nitpick and be a horse's ass about it. You know, isn't that a truism that to the extent that you get along with yourself and the rest of the, you know, world's population, you don't get on people's case about stuff. You let people be who they are and not who they're not. And it's like she and these other folks just have made such a fucking industry with lots of zeros on the check, you know, the checks, beating this dead horse, because most people in this country are aligned more or less with my way of thinking that, you know, we're trying to run our own lives. We can't be overly concerned about poking our grubby little, finger into someone else's eye. And it just drives me fucking nuts, even worse than not.
Well, you make a great point, though, Scott. Because in the polling immediately after the 2022 elections, we found out that these issues that we've just been discussing were important to about 5% of voters. I presume that some of that 5% were concerned because they were like me, trans, and were scared to death that they were about to be invalidated or detransitioned.
Yeah.
And it, what a horror.
Why are they harping on things like this if it's not even on the radar of most people in terms of being a valid concern?
Because it's a big dollar, Scott.
Well, yeah, there's that. But I mean, it's, I just.
They're making a shit ton. You know, the Alliance Defaming Freedom is making shit tons of money. The Alliance Defaming Freedom, by the way, is the grifter group that represented the plaintiffs down in Texas in what Sparky just mentioned a few minutes ago about mifepristone being the approval being enjoined by that disgusting waste of protoplasm maggot judge in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the Alliance Defaming Freedom. The Alliance Defaming Freedom is also representing Pill Push and Patty Morrissey, the AG of West Virginia, in his attack on a 12-year or 14-year-old little girl. But they value the children.
The other side of it is to distract any communications regarding the issues that are really facing this country, like climate change and other environmental issues that the fossil fuel industry doesn't want brought up. So distract, distract, distract. What about ism? All over again.
Yeah, and it's not new. It's an old Republican tactic going back years, decades even, generations even, where it's like nobody is really talking about this. You're the only ones making noise about this. You appear, it's like if we go into therapy, you'll be okay. I suggest they go into therapy and work on their own fucking issues and leave the rest of us the fuck alone. You know? The nature of things being such as it is, we're in the endless campaign season. Don't you, Robin, do you remember in Horn Family, do you remember a time not too terribly long ago when we would get a slight respite between campaigns?
Yeah, you could take a breather.
Oh, you could, if you had a hobby, you could go out and do that, shoot pool, you know, whatever it is that you did in your spare time. But now it's like relentless. It's like sitting in the belly of a galley ship with a guy beating a cadence on the fucking drum, you know, in the gladiator pictures. Hey, Stevie, or what was the kid's name in the airplane? Have you ever seen Billy? Or what was the kid's name?
Billy, I think. Billy.
Have you ever seen gladiator pictures? But
have you ever seen a naked man, Billy? Peter Graves was so good in that role.
Well, everybody, Barbara Billingsley.
You know that was just Wilt Chamberlain. Why did I say Wilt Chamberlain? Kareem, it was Kareem. Yeah, kid, will you try going up and down the court with Bill Laimbeer on your back night after night?
I got to rewatch that. It's been years.
By the way, I had a note from Matt in San Francisco. Transgenderism. This shit drives me nuts. This bullshit about operating on children is just allowed to be said and not challenged. It's making its way on the fairly mainstream programming. In the last weeks, Bill Maher's show, I know, he's problematic. There were three cisgender adults. Transgender was the topic. The operating on children talking point was said. And, of course, there was no pushback or anyone saying, that's not a thing. It's not happening. Why is there never a transgender person or healthcare provider that specializes in trans care? Well, because they don't fit the narrative, Matt. People like Bill Maher are not interested in truth or facts. They're interested. I mean, you want to talk about an ideology. The anti-trans stuff is an ideology based in some twisted and perverse form of Christianity. Matt continues, this bullshit is what gets people killed. As I've said a million times, never again means never again. Let's not wait till the ovens are built. By then, it's too late. And Matt, you're so right, but I gotta give props to your wonderful city. San Francisco State University. Good on them. There's a grifter named Riley Gaines. And you know she's a grifter because she is hustled by, like, the Alliance Defaming Freedom and Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and the like, and she's got an agent. She was a swimmer. I think she was a swimmer at, like, the University of Kentucky. And at one point in time, she tied for sixth place in the NCAA championships with Leah Thomas. Biological male! Now, Leah Thomas and Riley Gaines were thumped by five other cisgender women. But Riley Gaines feels like Leah Thomas stole her glory, you know, of fifth place. So because they try to be deliberately provocative, Turning Point USA, remember yesterday we had the clip of the guy with the huge head, Charlie Kirk, blathering on about how it's an acceptable bargain to trade the lives of nine-year-old children in exchange for some pasty-faced, doughy, fat fuck to fondle his goddamned AR-15. Well, that outfit that he runs had a Turning Point USA and Leadership Institute event on the campus of San Francisco State University. Why? I don't know. Their purpose was not to inform. Their purpose was to inflame. Their purpose was to generate publicity. And the breathless reporting is that poor Riley Gaines was barricaded in a third floor room at San Francisco State University for nearly 3 hours after protests against her began. Well, why weren't they holding this at, you know, Auburn University in Alabama or Ole Miss in Oxpatch, Mississippi, or maybe the University of Arkansas? Or how about the University of Kentucky?
Was it a protest or people laughing and pointing that she's bitching about being tying for sixth place?
Well, people were protesting her presence because she's a transphobic piece of shit. She's garbage.
I know, but I still think they're laughing because she's protesting she lost.
But I don't know. Place. I don't know. But, well, she said her husband, Lewis Barker. Why didn't she take his name? That's goes again the Bible. Lewis Barker said, she told me she was hit multiple times by a guy in a dress. I was shaking. It made me that mad. It makes me sick to feel so helpless about it. Oh, bitch, grow a pair. Why weren't you out there with your wife protecting her with your massive right-wing garbage masculinity? She was under police protection and was still hit by a man wearing a dress. See, man wearing a dress, that appears twice in his little pissing and moaning. If she was touched at all, which I doubt. I sincerely doubt. Because these people are, first and foremost, liars. If she was touched at all, she probably got the shit slapped out of her by one of the trans women that she constantly inveighs against.
Well, there's a way to know for sure, Robin. Go back behind her automobile, and if there's a bumper sticker that says, I'd break for hallucinations, well, there you've got your answer.
On Twitter, Gaines shared footage she took showing her being rushed out of the venue by police officers amid an onslaught of verbal attacks from the detractors who surrounded her.
You know, people like this.
Curiously, there's no video of her getting the shit slapped out of her.
Well, not people like this would not have stood a chance in the 60s, where you had to be authentic and up for it to dance that dance. I know the 60s are not the end all and be all, and I think Sparky just fell over. But it's true. I mean, they call us snowflakes. They are such instruments of fragility that you don't dare breathe near them.
Oh, you know, they got triggered by a can of beer.
Well, and how long ago was she in a swimming meet with this?
Yeah, this was a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that.
Oh, so it's still a fresh wound.
And she published a video. Let's see what we get from the audio of this.
Here.
You know, apparently San Francisco is a place where if you are a bigot, you will have to deal with the consequences of your bigotry. You know, there is an answer to this problem. Don't be a shit human being that attacks the rights of other human beings. But instead, she said, the prisoners are running the asylum at SFSU. I was ambushed and physically hit twice by a man. This is proof that women need sex-protected spaces. Wait, so she's giving a public... She's doing a public talk at San Francisco State University, but she wants a safe space? She wants a sex-protected space where only biological women will hear her. Yeah, what a garbage person. Still only further assures me I'm doing something right. When they want you silent, speak louder. And, well, you know, have the courage of your convictions. Stand there and take it. You fucking crying? See, she was scared because that was a scary black woman. A scary cis black woman who was talking meanly to the little white girl.
Was she invited to a class or a lecture or an event?
No, Turning Points USA paid for space to hold this deliberate provocation.
Oh, Jesus.
This was an incitement. See, these fucking fascists feel absolutely driven to go to places that are accepting and tolerant. You know, she probably wouldn't have had any problem at all if she'd gone to the University of Kentucky or
Hillsdale College.
There's that. She probably wouldn't have had any problem at all at the University of Idaho.
I've actually heard a new twist on the Bud Light can phenomenon. Now they're saying how much of that money.
Where'd you go, Jeremy?
Go.
Oh, no, Jeremy. Okay, try again. We lost all of that. Jeremy?
I think I'm back now. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I went through I've been going through our old IBM plant. I must have messed up the signals. But what I was saying was there's a new twist on the Bud Light phenomenon. Now the fascists are asking how much money from these beer companies to these outreach groups is actually going to the groups and not just a pure profit of beer companies. They're trying to make it sound like they're not transphobes while still clearly being transphobes. And it's hilarious because it fails. It fails the smell test.
Yeah, and what I was saying earlier is like, you know, that 5% I mentioned a little bit ago. The Republican Party has a horrible problem because these are great money raisers among the maggot base, you know, the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. But it doesn't play well in a general election. That's why the red wave was more like a spotting incident. And so they love the money, but they at least nominally want to win. But the people who give them the money want them to rage against. They want culture wars, Kulturkampf. And I said earlier, Riley Gaines has an agent. That scumbag is named Eli Bremmer.
Tonight, Riley Gaines spoke at San Francisco State University to share her personal story of competing against a biological male athlete, Leah Thomas, at the Women's NCAA Championships last year. In the past, her goal in speaking at universities has been to make a pile of money. I mean, has been to educate her peers about her experience and what the impact of the growing number of biological males in women's sports will do to the integrity of Title IX.
You know, the one 12-year-old girl in West Virginia. The one middle school girl who wants to play field hockey in Kentucky. The integrity of Title IX.
She has been questioned in civil and somewhat uncivil matters about her views many times, and she thoroughly encourages diverse viewpoints and debate on this issue. But Riley at San Francisco State University was violently accosted, shouted at, physically assaulted.
I don't believe a word of it about the physically assaulted. It was a crowd, and she might have bumped into somebody, and that's as much on her as anybody else.
She was barricaded in a room by protesters.
I wish Riley would bump into that little girl from the X Games last summer, who was in the skateboarding division. In the X Games, like most sports, they should put you with your own skill level and be that and just end it fucking there. But an 11-year-old was placed in the same group as, I think, close to a 20-year-old at skateboard of the X Games. The 20-year-old won. The 11-year-old, it was a trans woman that won. The 11-year-old cis female walked up, shook her hand, said, "You're the better person this day." And they questioned her after, "Do you care?" She said, "No, she was better than I was. She had skated me." End of story. It wasn't because she was biologically male or blah, blah, whatever else. I don't understand. You can't tell them differently.
Well, you know, the agents.
This will not stop Riley from boldly educating people of the dangers of biological males in women's sports.
This will not stop Riley from telling lies. She will continue to speak the truth. No, she will continue to tell lies.
Against the radical left that no longer understands the difference between women and men.
Yeah, we do. Trans women are women. Trans men are men. Cis men are men. Cis women are women. And non-binary people are valid.
And your testicles will solve all the problems.
But, you know, she's pretty and white and blonde. And she's a perfect poster child for the Alliance Defaming Freedom. And she is being well paid. Good point, Matt, in San Francisco. If she was assaulted, they would be suing the shit out of the attacker and the university. They are so full of shit. And curiously, even though this is a Fox News TV Radio Rwanda propaganda piece, footage shared to social media by Golden Gate Express, the school's student-run newspaper, showed a small protest emerge ahead of Gaines' arrival at the school Thursday evening. Other pieces of footage from the outlet showed the protest growing in size, eventually becoming so chaotic that Gaines was escorted out of the room and down a hallway by police and barricaded in a separate room. See, she was talking toxic hate. And when people do toxic things, the toxic things that they do and the people who are targeted and their allies tend to push back. But she was told to go the fuck home. People were yelling trans women are women at her while they placed transgender flags on the school's walls.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the University Police Department of SFSU said,
We're conducting an ongoing investigation into the situation. There were no arrests related to the event. The disruption occurred after the conclusion of the event, which made it necessary for UPD officers to move the event speaker from the room to a different safe location.
They got her a safe space. Good for Riley. She needed a safe space.
But was it only female officers that took care of her, or did she depend on those dreaded men that she so hates to get her there?
Apparently, UPD. And see, that's the thing. It was after the event. She got to do the event. She got to vomit out her poisonous hate. And then they yelled at her, and they gave her a sad. And in a statement to Fox News, TPU Toilet Paper USA spokesperson said the counter-protest to Gaines' speech was organized by SFSU's Queer and Trans Resource Center. And the protesters, the rowdy protesters, rushed in when the event was over. Oh, and by the way, just one thing to add to, I mentioned the lawsuit in West Virginia where Patrick Morrissey was told to go and shit in his hat. All the MAGA attorneys generals filed amicus briefs on, yes, it's an emergency. But someone else filed an amicus brief. Someone else felt like they had to interfere in the life of a little 12 or 14-year-old kid running track. Martina Navratilova. She can go to hell too. Disgusting. Regarding mutilation, Jude wrote in a little bit ago, I said recently that the soul is not the highest level, but a middle dimension of human beings. Higher than the soul is the spirit. When I worked with parents who had been court-ordered to be monitored for abuse of their child or children, many scars by mutilation could be viewed, yet the mutilation of the soul is seared into these children. Your current dialogue, dominionists, fascists, maybe redundant here, are a truly death cult, and robbers of freedom is what they manifest. Oh, we have work to do. And Jude says, I must add, the mutilation of anyone's soul. We stand at the gates of the unknown. We must and or are called to be centered and focused. One never knows that moment in time. Yeah, Jude. Yeah. And Randy reminds us, Randy Radar, remember how they screwed up the Terry Schiavo case? It's all of a piece, isn't it? Really seems to be. The grift, just so we can know, the grift that Riley Gaines is involved with is the Independent Women's Forum. And, of course, they jumped out and got some PR out of this. Because the Independent Women's Forum is anything but. And it's just another right-wing, well-funded right-wing gang of fascists.
I want to jump in real quick with a word about the soul. And I don't know where I know this from, but apparently it dawned on me some years ago that when they talk about the soul in, you know, spiritual texts and things like that, that this is what I get from it. When I think of the soul, I think of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And when you look at that classic verse that Jesus said, what does it profit someone to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? You can rephrase that. What does it profit someone to gain the whole world and lose his own mind, his own will, and his own emotions? And that's really the mind, the will, and the emotions, the deficits there in a lot of these people. That's where the problem shows up vividly. Am I on to something, or am I just whistling an old
tune? No, I think you're on to something.
From the past. I mean, because these are not well-adjusted people. I guess that's...
No, and part of the reason these stories find their way into my stack, part of it has to do with who I am now, who I've always been. But the other part of it has to do with knowing a little bit about history and knowing that this is how the Holocaust in Germany began.
Yeah, it's always a matter of...
You start with the smallest, most practical, marginalized group so that people go, well, you know, I understand why they're doing that.
Yeah.
In Germany... Germany led Europe in sexual and gender freedom in the early part of the 20th century. And as part of that, there was a facility in Berlin called the Institute for Sexual Wissenschaft. It was a sexology research center from 1919 to 1933. It was headed by a man named Magnus Hirschfeld. He had previously been running the Wissenschaftliche Humanitäres Komitee, the Scientific Humanitarian Committee, and they advocated for LGBT rights. They were burned out. Magnus Hirschfeld was murdered. Those films you can see of the Nazi book burnings, a lot of the books that they're burning are from the Institute for Sexual Wissenschaft. Those are who they came for first. This is who they're coming for first now.
As we know, even today, book burning... Now, they may not necessarily always be burning physical, you know, paper, you know, dead tree media, but they seem increasingly intent upon any information that doesn't sync up with their point of view is automatically suspect, and they'll fundraise on it, and they'll preach about it and raise hell about it and further confuse the public mind at every opportunity they get. And we need to be ever vigilant. I don't know if that's a state motto or on a flag somewhere or whatever, but it should be our marching orders going forward here, because it's going to be worse before it gets better, is my prognostication. I'm not a weather reporter, and I don't play one on TV. But my sense of things is, see, because they're desperate. I used this expression a while back, a long time ago. They're like a rat up on its hind legs, cornered in an alley somewhere. And there's not much more vicious than a rat cornered in an alley up on its hind legs. And this is where we're at. And if people are not cognizant of this and able to see it for what it is and behave accordingly, then we're, you know, as I always used to say, we're all screwed, Bob, or we're all screwed, Robin. We're all screwed people. And there endeth the lesson for now, anyway.
Well, it's hard not to say, well, yeah. But the fact of the matter is, it could and very possibly will get worse. The platform such as it is that Nitwit Nero is running on right now.
Platform.
Yeah, I know. But whatever we wish to call it is a million-y, bajillion-y, to quote Rick Wilson, times worse than what he was in the first term.
Oh, he's amped up tremendously. He is what we used to call, and I don't mean to use technical terms here, off the fucking twig. I mean, he really is.
I use those technical terms too sometimes.
It's like, you remember back in those quaint halcyon days of 2015 when it was predictable that he would act up like he did? But we were used to him in a number of ways. We knew what his shtick was, okay? But he is just completely cuckoo for fucking Cocoa Puffs at this point. He's ricocheting off the inflatable wallpaper.
Well, the fact of the matter is, that's why I ran that clip from Viktor Bout, you know, the Russian Lord of Death, saying that Nero was going to be bumped off.
I miss that.
I'll confess, I do worry, because when that fucker finally eats his last Big Mac, clutches at his chest and keels over.
Pardon me, I didn't mean to snicker. God damn, what a picture you paint.
Well, it'll be better than The Godfather, you know, with the orange slice and the, Oh, you do that very well.
Thank you.
You know the maggots are going to... The deep state done had him offed with a poisonous Big Mac.
Oh, we'll never hear the end of it. Somebody done put something in his gizzards, his KFC deep fried gizzards. Well, yeah, maybe. But I think it's more an actuarial thing and a lifestyle thing and a health index thing. You know, anybody who's that fucking hateful is going to die in some horrible way. I mean...
Yeah, apparently, unless they're Henry Kissinger or Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, God, don't get me started on Henry the K.
Well, at least we have to give the New York City police kudos for avoiding a Jack Ruby moment.
Oh, Jack, I know. I remember what that was. I know what that is. What happened? I missed that.
Oh, when they marched him into the court last Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, that's...
The New York City police avoided a Jack Ruby moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be more of a case, Roger, of the Dallas PD sort of weren't worried about a Jack Ruby moment.
Yeah, and I don't think that anybody was especially worried about sparing Melania the burden of a trial. You know, I don't think that was the case. That was Ruby's alleged motive. And then sooner or later, it would come back to the JFK thing. But, and he's winning. He's winning. The best that we've got going, and I have best in big old air quotes, is DeSantis. And maybe, isn't Asa Hutchinson? There is a fucking voice.
Yeah, he's announced his candidacy.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait.
One of the heroes of the Great American Cleanest Hunt.
Have we?
A little bit. This is an interesting little piece of breaking news, and it makes me happy.
Well, good. I like to see you happy.
So, in the aftermath of "fuck you, fascists," the Tennessee state legislature throwing out the two African American members of the House, Justin Jones, in particular. So that means that in the interim, so that people are not disenfranchised, the city council, metro council, gets to appoint his successor, and then there's a special election. Well, the Nashville Metro Council has answered the fascists in the Republican House and said, a majority of the members of the Nashville Metropolitan Council are going to vote to reinstate Justin Jones to the Tennessee State Legislature. You expelled him. We're going to send him back, motherfuckers. At least 24 members of the 40-seat Metro Council have confirmed to NBC News that they're going to vote to reinstate Justin Jones.
Well, they've got a good argument for it. It's who the people chose.
Yeah. Councilmember Berkeley Allen said they removed the voice from 140,000 people who voted for them. It's a terrible precedent to set, and we disagree with you, and you've disrupted our House proceedings, and therefore we're expelling you. That's not the way democracy works. So they're going to stick a finger in the state legislature's eye.
But isn't there kind of a pattern going on? Maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there, but I think I'm seeing clearly. It seems to be a continuing story of fate and place, like in the olden days, of every time you turn around, they're trying to reverse or erase the results of legal elections. They were doing it on January 6th. They're trying. They've done it with down in Tennessee. And it's like,
and come on, Scott, don't be naive. The only fair elections are the ones Republicans win.
That's their view.
Anytime a Democrat wins, the election was not fair. It was stolen.
Well, I don't know that I'm being naive, Roger. I'm just, you know, I'm not astounded anymore that people buy into this horse yet, that they're out there peddling. In nickel bags, but it's like I'm so sick of it.
And well, it's good to see people like Metro Nashville Council Member Jenny Welsh. She said, "I think the actions taken by the Tennessee legislature are blatantly fascist and racist, and need to be called out as such." Use the damn words, you know. And finally, they are using the words. They are recognizing that you don't have to have spiffy black Hugo Boss uniforms in order to be a Nazi. You know, the variety in Tennessee, the variety in Alabama, hell, the variety here is a kind of, it's a cornpone fascism. It's a fascism with a twang.
But we need to stop it. I mean, it's, I don't know. Maybe I get too worked up sometimes, but it just bugs the hell out of me that you know, that we're this far along on the great calendar, you know, the great Mayan calendar of life. And there is still the dumb fuckery and the dip shittery and the nut bucketry pervasive in the land. It's like, what was that shit they used to grow on the side of highways until they found out it was some sort of plant that they used as a ground?
Oh, you're talking about kudzu?
Kudzu, yeah. You know, we're up your ass in kudzu, and it's coming for you. It's coming, and you're next. It's like, goddamn. Maybe I'm being naive, but God damn it, my mom used to say, it just gripes the piss out of me.
And when she said that, she meant it.
Oh, yeah, she was ready for her Doan's pills and a belt of scotch or something. But that's like, you know, her little Carter's pills. But anyway, And each new day is another adventure with these asshats, and I am so sick of it. But I'm going to keep my sunny side up, as it were, and sing a couple of choruses of "Let's have another cup of coffee and let's have another piece of pie." You know, back to you.
Let's go back to Bill in the Weather Center.
Yeah, and here's Ted with the sports.
Let's end up with a little food porn here.
Yes, do let's.
I managed to, well, Patricia, my wife managed to score. They had prime rib on sale, normal price at around $16.35 a pound. And she scored a roast that had $143 on it for its original price for $43. So in giving a hat tip of the hat to my Jewish heritage, and Easter Sunday, we're not going to have a ham. I've got about a 4.5-hour smoking job ahead of me on Sunday to take this 8.5-pound hunk of meat and turn it into something that's at about 128, 130 degrees Fahrenheit in the center and carve it up and serve it as Sunday dinner.
Oh, that's going to be good.
And I think I'm going to go with hickory this time around.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd definitely be nice. Are you gonna do any kind of a rub on it or anything?
I think I'll probably do my Montreal.
I was gonna say exactly that. Yeah, that's perfect.
And you know, not a heavy coat because I don't know, people don't seem to like it. But at least a coating on it that'll give it a little flavor for the.
Oh my
slices.
God, who doesn't like that Montreal steak seasoning? I lick it out of the palm of my hand sometimes.
Well, I do too, but. Years ago, we got involved in a birthday dinner at the Moose Lodge, and the guy there put it on so goddamn thick it was totally impossible to eat, which turned my wife against it. And now I put it on super thin, and she still has a bit of a problem with it. But I'm eating it too, so I cook it the way I like it.
Well, you know, you could do some on half and none on the other.
It's kind of hard to do that. But anyhow.
You're going
to
make horseradish sauce?
No, I use the beaver horseradish. The beaver hot.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've got that brand where you are or not.
We don't, but Brother Deacon Asa sent me along some beaver stuff a couple of years back.
It's got good flavor to it. And that's what we do. And then, I don't know, she'll come up with... some side dishes. Locally here, we're having some stores selling asparagus at 68 cents a pound, which is a hell of a good price for that. Although it seems like they've stored it in the refrigerator for a little too long. We had some last night, and they were stringy quite a ways up, so they've probably been dried out a bit. But anyhow, I figured out it's going to be about 4.5 hours in the smoker, so that'll take care of Sunday afternoon babysitting, but it does give me the opportunity, and I forget the brand name on it right now, is a meat thermometer that you can leave in the oven because it's good up to 500 and some degrees, but it has a little box that if you set it next to it, it talks to the box, and then the box talks to your phone. So wherever I am out in the yard or anything like that through the Wi-Fi, I'll be able to be monitoring the exact temperature in the center of the roast for its entire cooking period, so I can make some adjustments toward the end of the 4 hours about whether to cool the smoker down or warm it up a little bit to try and have it on the table right at 6:30. So, anyway, I just figured with all the heavy stuff we've been doing, I'd lighten up the very end here for just a bit, so... Everybody have a good weekend, and if you have little ones chasing around looking for colored eggs,
and we do,
all kinds of recipes I've seen on Facebook lately for making your own dye out of things like carrot tops and beets and onion skins and all kinds of little things like that to make the water for your dye, and then you just have to add a little vinegar to it to get it to set on the eggshell. So everybody have a good weekend, and whether it's Passover or Ramadan or Easter or whatever it is for your personal religious spring fling, end of winter, beginning of spring celebration, enjoy it.
Yeah, and now you've got me wondering, and I got to look. I don't know if Megan's still out there, but... Now I got, since we listed Ramadan and Passover and Easter,
there's probably some others that I'm not aware of.
I know there is, and I'm ashamed of myself that I can't remember. Yeah, Ostara. Yeah, Ostara. Spring fertility celebration. So happy Ostara as well. And thanks, everybody. I appreciated the conversation. It's been good. Listen, when we get back on Monday, the fundraising goal will be at $898.31. So if anybody on the overnight, over the weekend crew wants to help out, it's badly needed because terrifying bills. Unending. And I think about it. We heard that hate being spewed by Candio. That ignorant fascist is a millionaire. And she got that way by spewing hate. Heck of a racket, I guess. But seriously, thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you this evening to Ralphs and to Jeremy. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Roger. Steve, we didn't hear from you. Soup. You need soup. I hear you've been feeling like crap. And I hope you stop feeling like crap and start feeling like Steve. But just know that I got your message and I've been thinking about you. Soup. No, really, soup. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Like and subscribe on the podcast, y'all, whatever platform you're on. Podbean, Stitcher, Pod Republic, Apple Podcasts, you name it. If you're listening to it on whatever platform you listen to, like and subscribe and comment. We really appreciate it. Eventually, we'll get to 1,000 listeners on the TuneIn player. That would be wonderful. We do that by liking that heart button if you listen by TuneIn. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, at a proud union shop. Coming soon, the return of the Ake Act. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. You do not want RSV, I promise. Wear your mask, especially when you're among the maggots. They are a contagious lot. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Need to hear from you when you get a chance, Paul. I know you're busy. See if you've got any kind of updates for us. And, of course, if some young woman comes wandering down the street in San Francisco talking about, I was assaulted by a man in a dress. Avoid that grifter like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.